Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. I hope your Monday's going well already, and let's make this a great week. It's time to escape down to Walt Disney World with a trip report from earlier this month, just a few weeks back. Listener Chris from New Jersey talks to us about his stay at Coronado Springs. We compare the dilemma he had deciding between Coronado Springs and Caribbean Beach, since he was originally supposed to stay at French Quarter, which is closed. And we talk about the pros and cons of each moderate hotel. We also talk about some fun times at the Magic Kingdom, his thoughts on a light experience over at Epcot with the Food and Wine Festival, and a great day at Hollywood Studios, plus a lot of fun stories in between. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. They're a platinum earmarked agency. They're going to take great care of you anytime you want to head to a Disney destination. They are the best of the best. So support us by booking with them over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link this holiday season. Bookmark it. It's one extra click and it's a free way to support the show, and we sure appreciate it. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Finally, a huge shout out to each and every one of our patrons. You guys are carrying the show during this time where travel is just a bit slow, and I cannot thank you enough for that. If you'd like some extra content in your week and... well, like Mike in the Midwest, it's a mini podcast, kind of about stories growing up here in Missouri. You get it every Thursday if you're a patron, so check it out today over at patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1799 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. Hope you had a great weekend. And, well, if you're an SEC fan, you didn't get to watch much football this weekend. But, you know, what can you do? Let's just hope for the next weekend. I plan to be out in Columbia. Hey, I had to stay back here because... no game. So we're here together to start another great week. And the way we've done it since 2008 is we do trip reports on Mondays, and that's what we're doing today. So joining us from out in New Jersey, and I got to clarify, you know, my frame of reference of Jersey from, you know, I'm from Missouri, is Blue Bloods. And it seems like what happens in New Jersey, like people in New York take people to New Jersey, they never come back. They get cement shoes. So we're going to see if we can clarify that tonight. Chris is joining us from out there. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Hey, Mike. Happy to be on.
I'm glad to have you. Actually, we talked about this before recording. Kind of feel like I'm talking to Boston Rob a little bit. One of my Survivor idols, so that's kind of cool for me, too.
I think that's a compliment.
There you go. All right. So how are things out on the East Coast for you guys right about now?
Good. You know, there's always uncertainty with COVID. So we returned back from Florida, and obviously it's like two completely different worlds, you know. Going from Disney to just the vacation home that we were staying in New Smyrna Beach, completely different. I mean, every restaurant store was handling it differently. I mean, there's certain places you walked in and you were wearing a mask and it was, you know, they looked at you like you had two heads. You know, but coming back here now with the winter and everything, everybody's concerned with the, you know, indoor dining and that kind of stuff. So we'll see what happens here, but. Other than that, everything's good. I mean, we just had a good trip and, you know, it was nice to get out. We came back to warm weather, which doesn't typically happen. So,
yeah, seriously. How about this? Yeah, how about this weather? You know, now it's cold again, but I mean, we had that strike. We had about 10 days of, you know, like spring weather. It was amazing.
Oh, yeah. We were surprised. I mean, we drove. So the way back, you know, I'm watching the thermometer and it was the 70s the whole way through. And we got to Virginia and I'm like expecting it to dip down at some point. It stayed in the, pretty high 70s up until Maryland. In Maryland, it was dark by that point, so I expected it to go down. So it was a pleasant surprise to come back to.
Yeah, back when I used to drive before I was brave enough to get on an airplane. I know that sounds dumb now that I've been flying for 5 years, but yeah, I would not get on a plane forever. But one of the cool things about going down in the wintertime was I always did kind of enjoy, you know, I'd leave St. Louis and it'd be, you know, 25 degrees because I'd leave in the middle of the night and then You know, you just watch that. You know you're getting closer because, you know, by the time you get to Florida, it's 70 degrees. That is one of the unsung things about flying. You get to kind of appreciate the temperature differences. I've missed that.
Yeah, 100%.
All right.
Yeah, my dad, like, halfway through the trip, was like, that can't be right. Rolled down the window. He's like, nope, it's right.
Good stuff. All right. Yeah. So before we hop into the trip, because we're going to talk about, you know, a very recent trip, again, to help folks that are going down here in the remainder of 2020 with all the holiday happenings going on and, you know, the new Walt Disney World that we have currently, and, you know, who knows how long this will be in place, all these new policies. Give me some of your background. You know, why are you a Disney fan? What makes Disney special to you? So kind of give us a little bit of your backstory.
So I've always gone since I was a kid to Disney World, and it just kind of stuck in the back of my head. Obviously, I grew up like everybody else, you know, on the Disney movies. My parents were big fans of it. My grandfather was a big fan. So we found ourselves down there, you know, growing up quite a bit. You know, so it always stuck in the back of my head. And I went through the high school period where I didn't really go and I wasn't interested. And, you know, I was interested in other vacations and stuff like that. And, you know, when my niece was growing up, we took her for her first trip, and seeing it, you know, through other people's eyes, that's really what dragged me back in. And, my fiance hadn't been since she was, 4. So I had to get her back there and experience it, because it was right after we took my niece. And then, you know, her nieces now are growing up, and we got to bring them for their first time. So, you know, that's really what brought me back into it. And now, you know, it just seems like it keeps expanding every time we go down there. There's always something different you can get into. And it's just a great place to go. So
let me ask you this, though, because you grew up with Walt Disney World where I didn't. You know, I really kind of got into it, you know, towards the end of college, you know, when I became an adult and just really fell in love with it. But if you could go back, and, you know, now bring something back from your childhood that you experienced at Walt Disney World, is there something you wish was still there that you really used to enjoy?
I wouldn't really say that. I just miss the memories. I mean, especially with my grandfather, he passed away when I was 8. So just spending the time down there with him, I mean, he loved everything about that place. I wish he would have the chance to see that now, just what it's become. It's a whole different animal, especially like Animal Kingdom and all these different, you know, improvements to the parks that have been made. I think he would have loved that. So I would say the memories. It really isn't anything specific I could go back to, you know, that I'd miss now. I mean, Disney improves more than, you know, I know certain things go away, but, you know, it always seems like they do end up making the right moves, you know, at the right time. I would tell you what I don't miss is that alien encounter, because
I loved it when I was little, and it
scared the crap out of me. My dad's trying to rip the thing off. I was screaming for my life. I thought that thing was going to, that was the end of me. That was it.
I love that thing, but it was so in the wrong place. Being in the Magic Kingdom. Okay. So people are like, oh, it's going to be a cute. No, this thing does want to get loose and kill you. Yeah. Right in the middle of Tomorrowland. Yeah.
Eisner pushed it a little too far with that one.
That'd have been great for the studios. What are they thinking? Yeah. I don't know. It's I mean, it's one of those things though. God. Yeah. That cracks me up, because you're exactly right. I mean, I just remember even when it was Stitch, the restraint system was just so, I mean, it was, there was no doubt you were not getting out of that thing. I mean, they could have done like a David Copperfield.
Worst, yeah, you know, that couldn't go anywhere.
I know, you weren't moving. Yeah, it's like, dude, sucker, you're stuck. Yeah. Oh, God, that
cracks
me up.
Now you mentioned the studios, actually, I do miss the backlot tour. We actually have a VHS tape that my pop recorded going through that thing, and that was great. I can't believe they got rid of that, but it is what it is. Again, we have Galaxy's Edge and other things in its place, so can't complain.
I on social media, I see all these accounts that post, you know, photos from the 80s and the 90s and even the 70s and so forth, especially at the 50th coming up. And I see these, you know, early studios pictures of like the Earful Tower and the Backlot Tour and all the animators. And while it's one of those things, like, would I trade, you know, Sunset Boulevard and Galaxy's Edge to have that? I probably wouldn't make that trade. But then again, like, I feel myself like, oh, God, I missed that. You know, but I know we can't have everything. Everything's got to evolve and kind of change with the times.
Of course.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, let's hop into your trip. So you took a quick trip earlier this month So kind of give us the background on why you guys decided to go down this time of year and kind of the genesis of the trip.
All right. So typically we always do this week in November just because, you know, it's Jersey week. You know, everybody gets off for the teacher convention. So, you know, we've done family trips, and with the kids being out of school, it just makes it easy on everybody. This year was a little different just because we originally had planned a trip in April. And my family, just to give you a background, rents a house in New Smyrna Beach. We've rented it, you know, the last 4 years. I have cousins down there. So me and my fiance just get away, you know, for the couple of days and go out to Disney. That was planned for April. Obviously, with COVID, that really wasn't possible. So we pushed it back to November. So we also pushed, you know, the Disney trip back to November, and the whole family planned to come. But as we got closer, you know, my parents weren't really comfortable with going to the parks. They weren't sure what to expect. Whereas, you know, Michelle and I were kind of watching on, you know, Instagram, all social media, and listening to the podcast and hearing about all the good stuff and really missing out on it and wanting to be, you know, down there at this time. So, we were like, absolutely not. We're not canceling. So we kept it on the calendar. And obviously, you know, you're well aware, we went back and forth about, you know, what hotel to pick. Mm-hmm. And because originally it was French Quarter, that got transitioned over to Caribbean Beach. We were going to stick with Caribbean Beach because I haven't been there in over 10 years. So I wanted to see the new rooms and take advantage of the Skyliner. And then, you know, Grand Destino Tower came back into my head. And the last time we were there, we just tacked it on for a day to stay in Grand Destino Tower. So we really wanted to get back and actually experience, you know, for a full trip. You know, the rooms are great. There's plenty of new restaurants and stuff to go see. So we wanted to do that. Obviously, the downside was transportation. We didn't have the, you know, the Skyliner to take advantage of. But, you know, I'll get into that, I guess, later in this podcast. But, you know, we had our transportation issues and ended up opting for Uber for the majority of it. It's just so much easier. It takes the stress out of it. And, you know, you want to get to the parks on time and kind of take advantage of it.
Yeah,
especially with everything going on.
You know, and right now we're living in this time with both Riverside and French Quarter out of the inventory. You know, if you want to stay moderate, you have two choices. You have Caribbean Beach and Coronado Springs, which, you know, you pretty much summed up what is the dilemma for guests. If you've traveled many times to Walt Disney World and you know both of these hotels, you know, like somebody like me, like I've stayed at both many times. And so it's again, Caribbean Beach, you know, it's newly remodeled and I'm staying there, you know, next month in December and I'm excited for that. But, you know, but I still think, you know, Caribbean Beach has the Skyliner, but Coronado is more deluxe, especially Grandestino. And they're priced as similarly. Actually, you can probably get Coronado slightly cheaper in some instances with discounts. And I think, you know, it's a trade-off. Like, do you want that awesome transportation option for Epcot and the studios with the Skyliner? Or do you want a more deluxe feel at the hotel, which is Coronado? I think they have the better dining. I think they have a better pool. I mean, this is just opinion. It has a great location, but it's a crapshoot with buses sometimes. So I think that is the pickle, and I think you summed it up really well. And, you know, the thing is, too, you never know. Like, sometimes I go down and, you know, I'll go for a weekend over a race weekend. Like, I feel like I hit every bus, you know, like, oh, man, it's pulling up and it's my bus, you know. But, you know, three times out of four, it's always like, God, I saw three Epcot buses and I just want to go to the Magic Kingdom, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. And you know what? We didn't have that issue. So the way back to the hotel, it seemed like we always hit a bus. So it was perfect. But getting to the parks, that was kind of the stressful situation. First day we arrived, and we planned for Epcot just with it opening later in the day. We didn't have to rush out there. You know, it's like a little over an hour drive from our vacation home. So, we drove out there, got there, checked in. The room was already ready at, I think I got the text at like 6:30 AM. So that was nice to go drop everything off. You know, we did the online check-in, didn't have to go to the front desk. It was like perfect. So that was great. We got down probably around 10 o'clock to the bus station, figuring, you know, the buses would be running early, you know, to get to Epcot. So first bus came at like 10:15 for Epcot. Obviously, the bus driver is like, there'll be one right behind me. Don't worry. That was not the case. It was like 45 minutes after that. And in between then, you know, we're seeing 20 buses for Magic Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, Animal Kingdom. There's nobody going there. We're all just standing there like, nope, Epcot.
Everybody's already at those parks with Epcot being the last one to open that. Because now they have the staggered openings, at 10 o'clock, it's going to be people going to Epcot most likely. Yeah.
So we did still end up getting there, you know, right at opening. So it wasn't terrible. But, you know, it was just kind of an annoyance. So we kind of looked at each other the whole time. We're like, we're doing Ubers the rest of the time, so we can just get there ahead of time, not have to worry about it. So that was definitely beneficial for the rest of the trip. And I would recommend that just to take the stress out of it, especially for us going into it. You know, I was debating switching Hollywood Studios to Animal Kingdom at one point, just due to the crowds I was seeing. I was like, oh, you know, we could probably go to Animal Kingdom and hit everything, you know, and not have to worry about it. But you know, we opted to stay with Hollywood Studios, and before our trip, they made the big announcement, you know, they were switching, you know, the whole pass situation. But, up until that point, we didn't really know. So we were planning to go out, take an Uber anyway, just get there ahead of time. You know, take every gamble out of it that we could, you know, so we can get there in time to make that, virtual queue. So, but anyway, that's kind of what we learned from day one. We just looked at each other and we're like, absolutely, we're doing Ubers the rest of the way.
Well, I think that's interesting too, because I mean, what you're doing, like you just said, you're putting more control back into your own hands, you know, instead of waiting for a bus, because it could be 10 minutes, it could be 40. With an Uber plus, I mean, you save, you know, you just get dropped off. I mean, bam, you're right there at a good spot. You're going into the park, and it's not expensive, especially honestly from Coronado. It's very centrally located, so you're just right across from the studios and right down from Epcot. It's not bad at all. So I'm glad you guys did that. So now, when you guys got to Epcot at 11 o'clock or so, when the park opened, you know, walk us through that day. Were the crowds high? Because it was a, what day of the week was this? The first day?
This was a Monday, so I was there Monday to Wednesday. So it, you know, watching touring plans, you know, crowd calendars looked good for then. You know, we got to Epcot, and I mentioned this in my notes, but we kind of, after everything, we wished that we switched to Epcot for Animal Kingdom, because you walk into Epcot and it's like, you know, all the construction that's going on, it's just walls. You know, you try and take a picture of the ball and Spaceship Earth, and it's walls, you know, so kind of takes the magic out of it. But, you know, you've got a couple paths you can go. You can either go left and go to Test Track, or you can go right and go to Soarin'. And we opted to try and get on Test Track. By the time we got back there, you know, the line was just a little crazy. It was up to 70 minutes, I think, already. So we just quick went across the right. We hit everything, you know, in the Land Pavilion real quick. Soarin' was basically a walk-on, as was Living with the Land. And then we kind of just strolled back to, you know, the World Showcase, and it became, you know, a day of just eating and drinking around the world, really. We did hit Spaceship Earth up as well on the way out, but, you know, really the focus was just on all the food and stuff to do. And I mean, as far as crowds, it really wasn't bad. You know, with the exception of going to Test Track, I think from what I've read, that's really where everybody goes right now. And that's with the limited amount of rides, that's what's going to happen. Disappointing thing this time was, you know, Frozen was down really just when we were there.
Yeah, just for like two or three days. Yeah, exactly.
I was like, oh, and that's really the main one we worry about hitting. So that even just, you know, pushed the needle over the Animal Kingdom even further. But it is what it is. You know, it was still fun to go around the world. The one thing we noticed was, and I think on the weekends, more of these booths are open. You know, like half the booths are closed. So that, you know, we got the big ones in there, you know, Mexico, and we popped over some of the ones that we don't typically do just because there was kind of a limited amount. But still fun to do. You know, we ended over in Canada. We ended up getting that popcorn there. And then there was like a cheddar bacon soup. I've never had those two. That was good. I always, end up getting a Moosehead lager over there. So I ended up adding the popcorn to it. And I've heard Ricky talk about it previously. So, decided to give that a shot. And we were stuffed by the end of that. And we had Kona dinner reservation, I want to say for around like 7 o'clock. Maybe actually it might have been earlier than that. Because when I planned these ADRs, you know, looking at the park closing, I want to say Epcot was earlier when I planned it. Mm-hmm. And then it got pushed back. And by that point, all the Epcot ADRs were gone. So we went with Kona. It was an earlier reservation. And we kind of looked at each other. We can't eat right now. and that being said, we had the water view room, you know, in Grandestino. You can see three bridges. We wanted to check that out. So we made the decision to just walk over the three bridges and keep it local. So it was good. I mean, I think I had too high expectations for it. I mean, the Giants game was on, so that was nice to see. But I got a chicken sandwich. It was like a fried chicken sandwich. I think I had in my head, I was expecting like a homecoming sandwich. Just didn't add up. It didn't match up. So, you know, it wasn't terrible. It just, you know, I would probably just stick with like drinks and appetizers if I went there again.
Now, wait a second. Did the Giants win that name? Probably no. See, well, that made the sour taste in your mouth because
They were winning at the time.
Oh wait, was this the game?
They were doing really well, and then they just
This wasn't the game that I'm losing your quarterback's name where he was gone and then he fell.
Jones.
Was that the game where he bit it going in on the he was gone like?
No, that was a couple weeks earlier, but yeah, that was a special moment too. They showed his speed though, and as far as quarterbacks go, they said he's even faster than Lamar Jackson at the full speed he was going. But he just tripped over his own feet.
Yeah, he got going a little too fast. He couldn't handle it. He wasn't a high performance car. No, but that you know what? I haven't tried Three Bridges myself. I was gonna go down when I was down there for Princess. I stayed in the Grandestino Tower. Same thing. Like I'd seen it, and I'm like, God, I want to try this. Like I've heard good things.
Yeah.
But I was sitting in my room. And I had on just like athletic clothes, and I'm like, I don't know if I can go down there in athletic clothes and look like a bum. I mean, you know, I guess I could have, but I was like, I don't feel like being that guy, so I haven't been there either. I gotta
go
down there.
With social distancing, it doesn't really matter. You know, they're only sitting a certain amount of tables. Nobody would judge you. But, you know, I was hoping Maya Grill would be open. That wasn't open. The market wasn't open. You know, main
Pepper Market, the old Pepper Market, I still call it.
Yeah. So, you know, there was still good options, and obviously we liked choosing that hotel. So next day we went over to Magic Kingdom. So like I said, we did Ubers, from there on out. So, caught an Uber first thing in the morning, went over. We actually made it there probably like, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes before, official opening. They let us right in.
Now, let me ask this real quick. Did you Uber to the Contemporary or did you Uber to the TTC?
TTC. Okay. And we were like, I've never Ubered there. So like I got thrown off once I got out. I was like, where are we?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering because actually the hack is kind of to go to the Contemporary and just walk. But I mean, TTC works too.
Well, in this case, I think we worked out better because the buses were coming one after the other to scoop you up and take you.
Okay.
And when we were driving past, there was a really long line coming from the Contemporary, whereas we had already done the security check and everything. We just walked right up.
Nice.
So
good idea.
That definitely worked out better. I was pleasantly surprised. But yeah, I mentioned in my notes, I mean, Magic Kingdom, we were the happiest with Magic Kingdom. You're just able to accomplish anything you can get on any ride. You know, there are some rides that have, you know, a little bit of a wait, but you know, if you look at touring plans, I think there's a few one-day strategies on there that are updated that really helped us out. I mean, we went through Fantasyland, just knocked off all those rides one after the other. I mean, a lot of the rides, like I think the Little Mermaid one, I mean, 5-minute wait, it was 5 minutes just walking through the queue.
Seriously.
I mean, you're just hopping right on, you know. Peter Pan, no wait at that point. I mean, the Mine Train did have a wait, so we opted to wait on that one until later in the afternoon. But I read everywhere that in the afternoon, Tomorrowland's like, you know, empty. And it was. I mean, Space Mountain was 15 minutes. I went over the Splash Mountain. Splash Mountain was, I want to say it was listed at like 50, and I got on like 28 minutes, I think I timed that. So a lot of those times are a little intimidating, but you know, I would tell you, just give it a shot if you really want to get on it. I mean, we were done with the majority of the rides by like 1 o'clock. Yep. We were like, now what do we do? You know, and it was nice though, because we got to sit down and we just like relaxed for a little bit. I couldn't tell you the last time I've done that, you know, when going to a park. It just doesn't happen. So, and then there's certain areas of the park. I'm walking through Frontierland and it's just empty. You don't really see anybody, you know. Mm-hmm. I have not seen that in forever. So that was just cool to see. But like I said, we got a lot accomplished. My fiance doesn't really like, you know, roller coasters and that kind of thing. So she went shopping and I went and waited on a couple roller coasters and got that stuff out of the way. And I think Magic Kingdom's just like, it's perfect because everybody's got a different interest. There's so many rides. So the crowds are spread out pretty evenly.
Yeah. And that's the key too. Magic Kingdom has so much to do in that park where the studios, you know, you have, you know, X amount of choices. You have like eight, you know, for a lot of people, it's like six or seven choices of what you're going to do. Where at the Magic Kingdom, you might have 45 options at any time. So it disperses people naturally. Yeah, I agree. And it just seems, I don't know why, but it just seems like they're doing it perfectly. Not perfectly, but as well as can be expected at the Magic Kingdom. Not that they're not at the other parks, but like Epcot's a park where, I mean, it's a social park. I mean, World Showcase, you know, for the whole existence of Epcot since 82, it's about being social and being together back in World Showcase. And we just can't be together, right? And, you know, close up and sharing meals and drinks and all that with, you know, strangers, which I have done sometimes, you know, and it's a weird time. But the Magic Kingdom, you're right. I mean, it's just, it's a nice getaway. Like, I, for some reason, when I'm in the Magic Kingdom, I can detach from the real world better than any of the other parks too.
100%. Completely agree with that. And just your point about Epcot, I would say the one good thing they did around the world, there was a lot more tables. Mm-hmm. There way more tables than there ever normally are. So you were able to take your snacks and go, you know, separate yourself and take your mask off for a little bit and get that out of the way. But Magic Kingdom, great day. Got a lot accomplished and we were able to kind of head back to the hotel a little early, take some time to get ready. And that was a good night. We went to Boathouse for the first time. So we went and did a little more shopping. You know, my fiance wanted to get a bunch of souvenirs. So, we went shopped beforehand and I think we had an 8 o'clock reservation that night. So, it was perfect. I mean, you had the option of sitting inside, outside. We went outside, on the deck, got to see the AMPA cars come by.
I still can't believe that they're running those things. Like, I mean, you know, I guess it's safe. Like, if there's one thing, because I told Mallory, I was like, she asked me, she's like, well, when we go down in August, like, are they going to be, I want to do those cars. I'm like, there is no way they're running those things. And then she's like, I saw somebody on social media doing it. I'm like, okay, those seem like the least socially distant thing of like in the history of anybody, but I guess.
I guess it's like an Uber.
The guy
sitting in the front, you know, he's got his mask on.
It's crazy.
Yeah. we got some good food. I got the Gibson burger and I was stuffed by the end of it. We couldn't even get dessert. So successful first trip to Boathouse, I would definitely say.
Yeah, I've had the sliders there. Those are so good. So good. And the dessert, we've had the Baked Alaska thing because we have Pam Forrester's big party there one time. It was amazing. Give us the real quick rundown on how you felt at Disney Springs, because the one thing I'm hearing from a lot of folks that have traveled is, and not all, and plus you were there on a Tuesday night, it seems like. So the weekends are obviously where the locals come out. They're looking for stuff to do. You don't need a ticket and so forth. But Disney Springs does get crowded at times and it fills to capacity. So what were your thoughts on a Tuesday night?
Yeah, it was pretty crowded. I mean, obviously, you know, you go in, you get the temperature check still going through there. So that was good to see. But, you know, we went in and when we went into, blanking on the name of the big Disney store there.
World of Disney.
We went in there and I heard in passing a couple different times, like, they are not limiting the number of people in this store because you were on top of everybody just trying to navigate. So it was very crowded. I would definitely say that. Even, you know, I could only imagine what it's like on a weekend, you know, if it was like that on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
That being said, I didn't feel unsafe at any point. I mean, Disney was very good about the whole mask thing. They saw anybody, even, you know, it's got to be on your nose too, you know, like yelling and passing as they're going by. So it was crowded, but I wouldn't say I felt unsafe. It was cool. Definitely a good position. And that was obviously coming from, you know, New Smyrna Beach, where it was hit or miss if I went into a store and people didn't even have masks on at all. So I felt way better being where I was.
No, I got you. I mean, that's Missouri too. I'm just saying, like, yeah. It's like, oh wait,
do I know?
Seriously, do I look like an alien? I don't know. Okay, so yeah. Now this last day, because it's a quick trip, but this was your studio's day, but a lot was happening here because you were transitioning to loading the car, getting ready to drive home, but you were also going to the studios. But also, like you said earlier in the show, you were one of the very first to be able to go for the boarding group for Rise of the Resistance from the hotel, which makes me, I was so nervous when there's a new system. I'm like, God, I don't want to be, I hate when any of my guests have to go through any kind of new, anything with Disney. That freaks me. I saw that in a new, I had like four or five people down there. I'm like, oh God, please let them get a, let this work. Yeah. But I don't know. So talk to us about, you know, even the night before, you're kind of setting up the day because it's that travel home day. So what was that like?
Yeah, so, you know, I was very nervous about this going in. And that's why I was almost choosing to pivot to Animal Kingdom on this Hollywood Studio Day. And we decided to just stick with it and give it a shot because there was a lot of negativity on social media about the process, saying it's literally like a lottery at this point and it doesn't seem good. So thankfully for us, they did change the process, and day one was the day before we were going to the park. So I did see there was some glitches, so I was still a little bit nervous. But luckily for us, you know, we woke up at 7 a.m. That was when it was first available. We both had our apps open, ready to go. My fiance was able to get into a boarding group as well. I just hit it quicker than her. We ended up with group 34. So like, we were super happy. I mean, we still had a lot to do in the park that day anyway. But you know, that was a huge win for us and something I've been like, you know, really eager to get down there and do. So that was huge. You know, it also just helped us out because now it takes the nerves out of rushing to the park. You know, we could take the time, pack up our bags, go pack up the car and not have to rush over there. We still took an Uber over there because you can still get there ahead of time and go, you know, knock out some rides beforehand. But, you know, it was just so much more relaxed just being able to lay in bed, do it. And then back for another half hour and mosey on out.
I totally know because, man, when I was there in August, like we waited in that long line at Pop Century because I'd been on it, but Mallory hadn't, and I promised her we'd ride it. And I'm like, okay, I got to come through here. So we waited all the super long line to get on the Skyliner at Pop Century, all the 50s. Then you get off at Caribbean Beach, got to get in another huge line. I mean, that literally probably took 5 years off my life because I stressed for like 90 minutes, and we made it in at 9:59 and just like, as soon as we got through the gates, that was miserable. Like, I'm so glad that it is. And I've heard a lot of my guests are getting them now this way. I mean, it you know, even if you don't get it, at least it's not such a miserable experience. You know, that's the way I see it. I mean, I hope everybody gets it, but at least it's not so stressful. I mean, it's brutal. It used to be.
Yeah. And from what I heard, too, you know, they put the plexiglass in between the ride vehicles now, so they can actually fit multiple parties on one vehicle, whereas before you couldn't. So, I think that's been helping them move through more groups as well. So even if you don't at that 2 p.m., you might get a group.
Yeah.
So, you know, people are a little more optimistic about the process, and obviously they're learning as they go and continuing to improve that. So
let me ask you one other thing though, just about that real quick, because everybody will want to know. Yeah. Do you remember if you were on the hotel Wi-Fi or if you used your cellular service when you tried to get those boarding groups? Because there's a lot of talk online with that.
I actually was on just my cell service at that point. I didn't even think about that. I probably should have just gone on.
You know what I would have done was had one of each, since you had two phones going.
Yeah,
it's
true.
Just to kind of, I don't know.
Well, you know what? My fiance probably was on Wi-Fi because she connects to it. So we did it without us knowing, but
just wondering. Yeah. Not, I mean, seriously, we're splitting hairs, but I mean, hey, I want everybody to have the best advantage they can have. All right, so you don't have to sweat out getting over there like a crazy person like I did. So how did the day go as a whole once you got over there?
It was a great day. So we had a lot planned, like I spoke to before. I mean, last trip report I gave you, you know, we went into Galaxy's Edge, and we're not huge Star Wars fans. But walking through there, I don't see how you walk out not becoming one and wanting to go back and watch the stuff. You know, so with Disney Plus, we're watching The Mandalorian, and then we're catching up on, you know, we're rewatching the old movies, which I love the old movies, but I haven't really gotten into any of the new ones. So that made you kind of go back. And I did the same thing when I went to, you know, Universal and saw Harry Potter and stuff like that. I was like, this is awesome. I got to watch it. So I went back and watched all the movies afterwards. Doesn't really make sense reverse, but I can't, what can I tell you? I mean, the world, they just designed it so great. Agreed. You know, it's so much detail that you want to learn more about it. So obviously we loved it last time. We didn't really hang out there too much. We didn't do any rides the last time. We went into Oga's Cantina. So we did book Oga's Cantina again. We had that actually at 11 a.m. So got some drinks.
I did that at 9:50 a.m. and I'm thinking, what am I? Yeah. I was down by myself. It was the week. It was one of the race weekend of the weekend. It was a weekend. It opened, I think, or Skyline, or one of those. But I remember looking at my watch. I'm like, it is 9:50 a.m. and I'm in a bar. Like, what am I doing with my life?
Yeah, it's part of the experience. You know what? It was either that or like 3 p.m. and we obviously didn't want to hang out too long that day because we wanted to get back, you know, to our family. You know, to hang out at the beach. So we did that. We went in. I will say it was a different atmosphere because last time we were there, it was the point where they literally gave you a circle to stand
yes,
on.
Yes, totally.
You
know,
and you got like a half hour, get out.
That's,
you know,
right. That's next right.
Group get in. And, you know, this time, you know, we were, I think, one of like four people at the one side of the bar. They literally did not fit anybody at the bar. There was so much space between us. I mean, you got to talk to the bartender and stuff like that. That was nice. But I would say that the atmosphere is a little bit different. Still cool if you haven't been there and you need to, you know, try those drinks and get the experience. It's still fun. But a little more energetic last time around.
I agree. Yeah, places like that, they need the energy of the crowd. But I'll take it once where I don't have to fight everybody. Because I do remember I was with like three families because they're like this single guy is here by himself. But I'm like, I just walked by like, you want to come in? I'm like, shoot. Yeah. Cause but yeah, back then you couldn't get in, you know, I was like, I'll go. Yeah, let's go.
Oh, yeah.
Now it'd be nice. All right. So you got to do that. Now what, so did you guys get to go around and how do you attack the studios though? Because like the Magic Kingdom, you did Land by Land, you did Galaxy's Edge, but what was it like? Like how did your day fall that day?
So reading beforehand, everybody said, you know, you either go to Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, you go to Galaxy's Edge. That's where the two groups are going. So if you want to avoid the lines, just zag while everybody's zigging. So we went over to Toy Story Land. They said, you get to Toy Story Land early enough, you can knock it all out and then go over and hit the other stuff. So we went to Toy Story Land. Slinky Dog, I wish I got on the line. Because again, with the social distancing, it makes the line look like it's terrible already. And it really wasn't, because as we're walking past the line, the line's walking with us. And it must have just started at that point. Mm-hmm. So walking out of Toy Story Land, it was like wrapped all the way down by the Little Mermaid. And I was like kicking myself because I was like, we would have been right on that. You know, there wasn't an issue. They had the sign at 50 minutes. It definitely was not anywhere close to that. But nonetheless, we went to Midway Mania. That was a walk-on. We could have just gone right back on it right after. It is a fun ride, obviously, but we chose to just kind of bounce around. So we ended up grabbing a coffee over at the Starbucks there. I got a breakfast sandwich. We hung out for a little bit. Really waited until we could go over to our 11 a.m. reservation. Went to Oga's Cantina. Did that whole thing. In the meantime, we're watching the app to see when the boarding group's coming up. So that's in the back of our head. But, you know, realized we still had plenty of time. So know, my fiance again went shopping. I went over to Rock and Roller Coaster, got on that. Really wasn't a bad wait. It was probably 40 minutes, but it ended up being like a half hour again. So not too bad. In the midst of all this, we have a 1 o'clock reservation for 50s primetime, and or no, 125, sorry. But I had been there when I was very young. I don't remember it at all. So I wanted to go there. I knew that was an important one to hit, so I was excited for that. And now in the meantime, watching for the boarding group, like, please don't let this mess.
Seriously, it totally does, like, all day. You're obsessed with watching that little droid and the little line, you know, the status line. It controls you for the whole day.
It was bad, and like it was lining up like it was gonna be exactly the time we had the reservation.
Yeah, of course.
I was like, no. And then it kept going down. They kept speeding through people. So we ended up getting our boarding group, I wanna say, around 12:30. So got right on the ride, and that was amazing. Easily the coolest ride I've ever been on. I won't spoil it for anybody, right. But like I've never seen anything like
that.
The queue, the ride, amazing. Then we shot over the 50s primetime, went in there. Again, that's an experience in itself. I can't believe it took me this long to get back there, but we got that sampler. I've heard good things about the meatloaf. I've heard good things about the chicken, but the sampler had the pot roast on it too. We came out of there liking the pot roast better than anything else.
That's my wife's go-to. I get the sampler or the meatloaf, but my wife gets pot roast every time.
Oh yeah. Don't get me wrong. I liked all three of them, but you know, I think we were pleasantly surprised with the pot roast. So, and then I got the peanut butter and jelly shake. That was unbelievable too. I mean, the whole atmosphere, everything's just cool about that place. So we were really, pleased with it. The peanut butter and jelly shake though. Oh my God. That was a good way to wrap it up.
I'd kill for one of those right about now.
Yeah.
This is so good. Okay. So last thing though. Okay. This one cracks me up because I want to do this so badly. Still haven't done it. You guys say you're not big Star Wars fans yet. You did the coolest Star Wars experience. So go ahead.
Yeah. So I told you last time around, we liked the land, but we weren't really crazy into Star Wars. We got into it. We caught up a bunch on Disney Plus to get ourselves some background. And my fiance was really into it. So I decided to surprise her and I got the lightsaber build. So that was at, 3:30. So we floated around, took some pictures, and then we went over. And it's a cool process just because you get there and you got to pick, you know, the style you want to go for ahead of time. And then they kind of sit you down, you know, under some umbrellas so you're not out in the sun. And then they take you in a group. I thought it was funny because, you know, this was a surprise for her and she loved it. I wasn't sure, you know, if she was going to be excited or not, you know, like, what are you making me do this for? So she loved it. Absolutely loved it. And like we went in and it was funny because you're allowed to bring one person with you and they kind of have these circles set up on the floor. So you got to stand there and the person building stands at the table. I'm standing in the back. You look around. It's all guys building and their girlfriends or something behind them. And here I am standing there at the camera taking pictures.
Yeah, but you get all points for that right there.
Yeah. it was still amazing to watch it come together and everything. I mean, I told you in the email, it's definitely worth it. I know it is expensive, but if you can swing it, it's the whole experience. Getting it at the end, I picked the thing up. I mean, it's got some weight to it. I was surprised. It was a very cool experience. I mean, the actors, the whole show experience of the whole thing is really what makes it. And they really did a good job with that. So, very excited. And that kind of rounded out, you know, our park experience there. Of course, we had to go take it and run over and take pictures in front of everything. So that was fun because there's, you know, lines, the queues are all over the place. So you're trying to get a picture in front of something, you got to like stop people and like, what? And she's big on Instagram. So she's posing and doing all this stuff. And me, I'm down on my knees trying to get the right picture.
You're like the Taco Bell commercial. You're the Instagram fiance kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I can actually.
That was going to be my next question. See, everybody I know that has a lightsaber, I'm like, okay, so what do you do with it when you get home? Like, do you have it hanging on the wall? Where is it? That's what I want to know.
That's the idea. I mean, they offer a stand.
Of course.
And I right away, I was like, but they're probably going to charge me another $100 for that.
Exactly, whatever. Right.
So we're going to mount it. We have above the fireplace a space. So I think
that'd be awesome.
I have two fireplaces. So in the basement, I was like, it can be a man cave Disney room. So that's what we're going to do. But
That's awesome.
They also give you this nice carrying case. Yeah. So you feel real official walking through everybody. Like, where'd you get that?
And you just carry that. Oh, you guys drove though, but you can take those on planes. Oh my God. That's so cool. See, we're watching. I know it's an audio podcast, but Chris is showing it off here on the video and it is glowing and I am dying right here. Cause I need one of these so bad. I should take that back. I do not need a lightsaber, but I want a, oh my God. Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah. So it was very cool. Definitely recommend that. Obviously not something you're going to do multiple times ever, but it was cool. We have it recorded and everything. And ended up being a really positive, surprise there because, you know, a lot of the tours and all that kind of stuff, we always pick like a tour or something to do. Last time we did the, Wild Safari Trek or Africa Trek, it's called, where you go behind the scenes, in Animal Kingdom. That was absolutely amazing. But this time around, we didn't really have much to pick from. So I saw that was available and I was like, oh, I'm going to take a shot at that. So
that's cool.
We were able to get it. It was definitely a great experience.
You just say you're going to be a Jedi for Halloween for the rest of your life. And it kind of, you know, like you're you justify the cost. Spread out.
Got a light to walk around with, safety lights.
Exactly, right. It's a glow stick. Yeah, totally. Yeah. My mom used to give us those little green glow sticks put around our neck for Halloween so you didn't get hit by a car, which was, you know, an inch tall. I'm sure that really saved our life a few times. All right. Well, hey, great trip. You know, you weren't there a long time, but man, you guys got a lot done and you gave some honest feedback about what worked, what didn't. And it's really going to help folks here that are traveling the rest of the year. So Chris, I appreciate you taking the time coming on the show.
I got one more thing for you too.
Yes. Give it to us.
So we're huge fans of Hoop Dude Review. Obviously, you know, with all the cast stuff going on, that's not going on right now. Hopefully it'll come back.
Yes.
But on the way out, the mobile ordering, that's another huge thing. Mobile ordering is amazing. I mean, it's so easy to use. But we ended up looking at, I think it's P&J's takeout, you know, little takeout window in Fort Wilderness. And I looked at it. They had a family meal. I mean, you pay like $70 a person to get into the Hoop Dude Review.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I paid, I want to say it was, they were like $45, you know, for a four person meal. Oh. You get chicken, ribs, four sides, all this good stuff. So I brought that back to the vacation house for my family, surprised my mom. My mom loves Hoop Dude Review. And, you know, they didn't feel comfortable coming out with the whole COVID thing. So I brought them back a consolation prize and everybody was pleasantly happy. So definitely recommend, you know, even if, you know, you can't get to that show, you can still get some of the food if you enjoy that food. Definitely take advantage of that. They also have the Sanaa bread service to go.
Oh, God.
You can just stop by and scoop that, and they give you every sauce, everything. So there's definitely good options to take advantage of, even if you can't get a reservation.
You can't say this stuff because Ricky brings everything in her purse. Like, she brings bags to take stuff. Like, she'll come home with like seven meals. No kidding. I'm not lying either. She totally will. That, you know, that's really thoughtful, though, that you thought about that to bring kind of you know, you can't have the show, but you can bring a taste of the Hoop Dee-Doo back to your parents. That's really cool. I like that idea. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Awesome.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for sharing all these great tips. I mean, that's a big one too, right there. So appreciate it. So do you have anything like on the, you know, you're planning for the next trip? Anything you got on your mind?
So obviously I'd like to go down right away again, but you know, I next trip, we really want to get a longer one on the books. We've been doing a bunch of these 3 or 4 night trips. So I'd like to get, you know, a solid week down there at some point, but we do have a wedding coming up next October if everything goes well. It is in Asheville, North Carolina. So the plan is take a couple days after that and get down there. You know, we're not going to do a whole honeymoon until, you know, sometime after the wedding, but we want to spend a couple days in Disney. And then, so that'll be the next trip. And I already reached out to you to get that process going. I just got to decide where I want to, stay. So
I hear you.
It's the next one.
It's hard to make plans in 2020, man. I'm just telling you, like, especially you, cause you know, we were working on that trip for a while, you know, like, oh my God, French Quarter's not open. Oh my gosh, it's canceled in April. Like,
yeah,
you know, the folks that have gotten to travel that have had to stick with this, that had originally spring 2020 trips. It's just, I'm just so glad folks get to finally like get it, you know, see it to fruition. Cause it's a mess. Like, it really is.
I mean, it's a crapshoot right now, but, like I said, hopefully things are a little back to normal by next fall. And, like I said, we'll get down there for a couple of days, but in, you know, next couple of years, I need to get down there for like a solid week and just take a couple pool days not be crazy the whole time, but we'll get there.
All right. Well, hey, appreciate the time and, you have a great Monday. Thanks again.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. I'd love to help you plan your next trip to Walt Disney World, whether it's down here at the end of 2020 to see the great holiday events going on. I mean, if there's one reason to go down right now, it's the holiday snacks, right? I mean, there's snacks. You can't take 10 steps down to Walt Disney World without some kind of a cool cupcake, a candied taco, these spiked hot chocolates and all kinds of stuff, man. Get down there, get some snacks. We'll help you get there. And also 2021 from January to April, there's some amazing deals out there for early 2021 as well. Just drop by themagicforless.com, fill out that quote form, and I'll get back to you right away if you mention the show. So check them out at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link as you shop online during this holiday season. It's over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And a huge shout out to our patrons. You guys are helping us keep the show going during this time where travel slowed down just a bit. But I think we might be turning the corner, so I appreciate that so very much. If you'd like some extra content in your week, including Mike in the Midwest, a little mini podcast every Thursday, just drop by patreon.com/beourguestpodcast. Give us a follow on the social media, Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike and at BeOurGuestPod. And of course, subscribe to the show on Facebook and YouTube. We're there with videos all the time. Every time we record a show, it's up there as well. And don't forget, December 5th, 2020, from 2 to 8, we're going to be live from Give Kids the World Village down in Kissimmee, raising money for the village and really doing some good to close out 2020. Very excited for that. And it's coming up quickly, less than 3 weeks away. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your Monday. Thank you so much for dropping in. Hope you enjoyed this trip report. It's always fun to kind of take a little virtual trip down to Walt Disney World when we can't get down there ourselves. So for Chris, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.